Good morning. Tom, this is on, right? Okay, I'm going to stay right here. It's good to be with y'all this morning on a day that, you know, a lot of Christians are celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. It's good to be with my family on this day. Good to be here. And exciting things are happening. I ask y'all to come support Tina with Ladies Day. It's going to be great. Great topic to study. Really changed my outlook on the Bible. Deepened it. And then we have the young preachers coming, and that is going to be a treat. I've experienced it. These men are full of, they're full of Jesus is what they are. And it will really, I plan on being here and to experience him with you. But it's just, it's so encouraging to see young preachers, that have made the decision that what they want to do is they want to preach Jesus Christ to the world. And it'll be an amazing, amazing thing. So, I want to start with a question as to who are you closest with? Who is your closest relationship with now? And think about your closest relationships. Could be, you know, everybody in your household you're going to be close to. And especially going through this winter time, the walls really kind of closed in. And if you went outside, you slipped and fell. But you were with your loved ones or whoever you're with. Could be a friend or, you know. In these hard times, a lot of people are having to share the bills, but to be together could be a best friend, could be your family members, could be your mother, could be your father. Who are you close with? Think about that relationship. Think about the ones that you open up to, the ones that you can let your guard down and be vulnerable with. It's a mutual thing in those relationships as two people that let their guard down and open up and love one another. And not everybody finds that in this life. A true best friend. We've got our friends, then we've got our close friends, and then it narrows to who we open up to and who we're vulnerable with. Who really knows you? Who knows you the best? Mama knows, right? Your wife knows you the best. So just think about that, being vulnerable. It takes two in a relationship to open up, to really connect, and to trust one another. And as you're thinking about that, I want to ask, how close does God want to be with you? How close does he want to be with you? And as I was, I learned that I was coming here Thursday. And this morning, what a beautiful morning. I sat on the front stoop and I talked to God. And I was just having a conversation with him about how being in this body and talking to God, God is spirit. And I have a soul, and you have a soul, and just to talk to him this morning, it was a special time, just me and him. The scripture that Jerry read reads, "My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Oh, I love that scripture. God making his home with us. First John, I love First John. I don't know if you do, but when I first got into reading, studying First John, it was with Rick C. over at Miss Kitty's house. And I was amazed because First John tells us we know, you know what we know. We have the resurrection. We have eternal life. We have Christ. All these things. Well, someone pointed me to this, and if you would turn your Bibles to 1 John, I just want to show you this, because I think it tells us how close God wants to be with us. How close does God want to be with us? What is His will? 1 John, and starting off in chapter 2, verse 24. And I hate to put you through this. It's not supposed to be a Bible study. It's supposed to be preached. But this is, maybe you're not aware of this. Maybe you are. How many times God tells us how close He wants to be with us. And if you look in verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what He promised us, even eternal life. Continue reading. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from Him remains in you. You do not need anyone to teach you, but as His anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in Him. Continue verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in Him, so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His coming. Skip down to chapter 3, verse 4. And I'm going through this quick, I know, but just listen to this. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that He appeared to so that He might take our sins away. And in Him is no sin. No one who lives in Him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen Him or known Him. Skip to chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. Please continue to verse 24 in chapter 3. Those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. Chapter 4, verse 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 12. No one has ever seen God. This is what I was talking about, and I was talking to him. But if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God lives in him, and He in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And in chapter 5, verse 20, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. How do you get any closer than with God? With your wife, with your children, with your parents, with your best friend. No one can get that close to anyone. And God wants to be that close to us. And we are in Him. I'm talking to saints. But just why? Why does God want this close relationship with me? Or with you? Do you marvel at that? This broken man here. And He loves me. And He wants to have a relationship with me like no other. I don't know how to grasp that. But He does. And we do. And it takes two in every relationship. God's perfect, isn't He? Perfect. His love is perfect. He's perfect in the relationship that you have with Him. But are we perfect? We talked about this morning in class. Are we perfect in our relationship with Him? That's what God wants. He wants us to stay close. Stay close every day, every hour. Stay close. How close are you with God today? How's your relationship with God? You know, when we get together, we have our church life. It's good to get together. We remind each other of who we are when we get together. It's a good reminder. We hold each other accountable. Just in mere presence, I think we hold each other accountable. And then we go off into the world during the week and we get distracted, don't we? So how close are you with it? Outside the church, how close? In your daily walk with the Lord, how close are you? This is something we need to be reminded of. Rejoice in the fact that we have Him. So God wants to be close to us. What's the problem? I want to be closer to God. I think that's the love for Him that I have inside. I'm not close enough. I want to be closer. But then there are things that kind of pull us away a little bit. There's sin. We have a perfect Savior that loves us, and we just celebrate that He died for us to have a relationship with us. The good news is that we can turn back to Him, can we? Always turn back to Him. Sometimes in our lives, we keep people out. We keep people away, as close as I am to my wife. Or anybody. We don't let everybody in fully, I don't think, because we're not perfect. If we're truthful about it. But, you know, when we get to heaven, we won't need a guard put up. We will be perfect. Oh, I look forward to that. We need to be authentic. We need to be ourselves. We need to be vulnerable. We need to correct what we're doing. But life's distractions do come our way too. And it's not only sin. It's not only sin. In Luke, Mary and Martha, the story of Mary and Martha, Jesus said, and Jesus and His disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had been made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me, please." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And there was Martha distracted. Luke 14:25-27. "Now great crowds accompanied Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be My disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after Me cannot be My disciples.'" What is He saying? I'm going to be first. I will be first in your life. No other. And yet, doesn't that happen sometimes? Anything can become an idol. Your family could become an idol. Church work could become an idol. You could do all these good things. Martha was serving the Lord in her house. What an honor to have the Lord at your house. And wouldn't you want to make the best for Him? But that's not what He wants. He wants you to sit on the porch and talk to Him. Right? He wants to be closer than anyone in your life. You could have a couple doing great work for the Lord. Doing great work for the Lord. And busy doing it. And sacrificing. Both of them are sacrificing. And they don't focus on their marriage. There's no relationship in the marriage there. But they're doing God's work. You could have a baby and you could take care of that child. Raise him up. Clean clothes. Press clothes. Feed him the best of food. Don't let him have any chemicals, or, you know, feed them homemade, keep them clean, keep them fed, keep them to school, and not have a relationship with your child. It's about the relationship, isn't it? Who are you spending time with? And where is your priority? Where is my priority? You know, Elijah felt like he was alone. And sometimes we feel like we're alone. He went out to the middle of the desert. You know, he thought he got away from everybody. Out in the middle of the desert, laid down, and God was there, wasn't he? Who can you say that about? Wife, friend, mother, father, who can you say is always with you, will never leave you? That's what God offers. Loyalty, faithfulness. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He's always with us. What was Jesus willing to do? He cleansed our sins. Yes, He did. He took away our sins on the cross. His blood took away our sins. But what God wants, what He wanted in the death of Jesus, is for all of us to be reconciled to Him, to be back in relationship with Him. That's what He did, among other things. But He made it possible that we could have this relationship. So how, not only does God want us close to Him, He died for that. He died to have a relationship. Now, how many people have done you wrong in your life and you've crossed them out? He died to reconcile us from our unrighteousness to Him. That's how bad, I don't know if that's the right word to say, that's how much He wants to have a relationship with you and with everybody. The invitation is for everybody. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father, in my name, He will give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. I love that song. Jesus is my friend. God is my friend. God is your friend. And he died for us. He died. He never lost focus. Jesus Christ had a mission to come and be a man and to live just like you and I and to save us. And he knew it. And he asked the Father to take the cup three times. If there's any other way, you know what? There was no other way. And he said, I'm going to do it. There's no other way. Nobody wanted to go through what Jesus went through. But because he wanted us to be reconciled, he would do anything, and he did. He did everything. He left it all there. He gave up his whole life for the relationship. The question we have to ask ourselves daily is, continually, he died for us, will we die for him? Will we die for him? Why does he love us so? Why? God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, you and I, loves us enough to die for us. Doesn't make any sense. But he does, doesn't he? And we know it. You know why? Because when we came to him, when we were baptized, when we died to our old self, he sent his spirit. When you are baptized, you are washed, you are purified, and now the Holy Spirit, he comes to make a home in you. This is a temple. We've heard it all. The body is a temple. Once it's purified and made pure for him to dwell. And he never leaves us. The closest, safest relationship we will ever have is with Jesus. And he made it all possible through his blood. He rose. We celebrate that today. And we're going to rise. And we're going to be with him in heaven. We're going to change locations. But right now, he's in us, if you're in Christ. I'm not up here to teach y'all anything. But what a reminder of God's love. And how much he loves us and how close. I don't think there's anybody that wants to be that close to me as much as my wife loves me. People can get a little too close, don't they? He wants to be in us. What a God we serve. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise you. We're just in awe of the kind of love that you give. Father, we want to love like you. We want to love everybody in the way that you do. Please help us. Please change our hearts. Father, draw us closer to you. We can't get close enough. Help us to overcome our weaknesses and to draw closer to you. Father, that's where we want to be. We do look forward to the day when we'll be in heaven, where sin will be no more, and we can just worship you. Until then, Father, please give us opportunities to tell everyone about your Son, Jesus. We pray for our families as they meet together this weekend and get together. Father, please save them. Please give us the words. May we all only bring glory to you. And shine the light of your Son, Jesus. Father, we pray that they turn to you. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for your Son. We thank you so much for your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.